The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on A Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Yes, y'all. Oh, shit. I was supposed to stop talking. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Can we go now?
Okay. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I never know. All right, first, I have a funny story. So I cannot remember what I posted because, unfortunately, whatever I post to Instagram goes straight to Facebook, right? I have them linked.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted a story on my Instagram, and it automatically goes to stories on Facebook, which is fine. But people are always, like, replying on Facebook to my story.
Mm-hmm.
However, on Facebook, the story disappears, and you can't see what they replied to, which is super annoying. Because unless I specifically answer, like, within that time frame, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I had a girl DM me, and I obviously posted something about Teachers Talk Crime. But instead of spelling it out, I put TTC.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girl DM me, and it was so funny. She said, so I'm clearly in too many mom groups because TTC usually stands for trying to conceive. And I was like, oh, my God, Brooke. But then I realized you just meant your podcast. So TTC apparently means trying to conceive. But, you know, I'm not trying to do that. You're not trying to do that.
Like, factual.
So we just over here about Teachers Talk Crime.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we do over here, baby.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that stuff for trying to conceive. And I'm part of, I'm kind of just part of one mom group. It's fine. Wow,
that's so funny because I was like, oh, that's hilarious, and she was like, wait a minute, I don't think she's trying to conceive. Oh, wait, it's her podcast. I'm like, yeah,
imagine.
No, let's not.
Yep, let's not do that. Mm-hmm.
No. So yeah, we're testing this week, guys, and yeah. About all I got with that. Mm-hmm.
We got 2 weeks and, a little less than 2 weeks, but we're doing test prep next week. And the girl's worried. The girl mm-hmm. is shooketh. But
yeah,
this is the first year my kids do state tests, so I'm not really concerned. I'm just going to tell them to try their best. I know that whatever they get and how it goes to my scoring as a teacher and how good I teach, I don't really count that part for me personally.
Right. I had one of my kids, like, so they get like a bathroom break, you know, between sessions. Mm. And so like Monday it was English and there was two sessions. And then Tuesday there's writing and English and there's two sessions. And then today was math and that's two sessions. And then tomorrow it's science and that's two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So typically they get a bathroom break between the sessions. And I had one kid ask me like before we started session two, and he was like, what is this for? And I was like, well, that's a great question. I said, well, it kind of dictates like where a school is at, like in the rankings,
mm-hmm.
as far as like academically. Are we considered a failure school? Like, do they need to pour more funding into our school and like make us better? Things like that. They look at, all kinds of things. It's also a reflection of me. And he was like, what did your kids make last year? And I don't lie to my students. I really don't, because I don't ever want them to think back as me being the adult that lied to them. He goes, well, what did your kids make last year? And I was like, well, I've actually never seen any data from this test, so I don't know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I did try to pump them up. I mean, I do want them to take it seriously, yeah, because it is important to know where your kids are. And mm-hmm, I think I try not to take it personal, but like, and I know you're not, I don't look at the test. Wink, mm-hmm, wink. Nobody looks at the test, but you know,
wink, wink.
Yeah. It's just like, you try not to take it personal when you know they missed a question, or when they come to you after the test and it's like, I didn't understand anything, which mm-hmm, I had some kids tell me today, like at lunch, they walk by, that was such a hard test. And you're like, but I taught you all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I taught you too. Yep. I know I did. Yep. So it really made me sick to my stomach today, because I was like, I know I taught that. I know I taught that standard. And I did my best. Monday, I wrote them a positive letter. Some of you guys saw it on our Instagram story. If you want the inspiration, I got it from Instagram. So just search up like testing letter or something. And I just kind of like revamped it of my own. And then Tuesday, I got sticky notes and I wrote them one sentence personalized to them. So I would like literally wrote like, Ashley, your personality is amazing. Do great. You know, so one compliment and then something about the test. Mm-hmm. And then when they walked in, they had the sticky note and a donut on their desk. And so I did that Tuesday. And then today we made 500 blow pop messages and we stood at the buses and I gave every kid a blow pop with a message. And then my class got cinnamon rolls. And then tomorrow they're going to get Takis. And I think that the, you know, the personalized notes, even them being in eighth grade, when our counselor came around, like my 6 foot, 300 pound student, who's ginormous, literally grabbed the counselor's hand and took him to his note. Oh, I was like, look at what she wrote. Look what she wrote. And you know, you're like, oh, that actually meant something to them. Like, yeah, that's so sweet.
Yeah, definitely sweet. We also posted on her story that video of that teacher giving all of her students like a personalized letter from their family. So I pulled trig and was like, I want to do that for my third graders because it's their first year state testing. And I know a lot of them have test anxiety and I really want them to go into it knowing that there are people who care about them and wanted them to do well. So I'm going to involve the families. I'm going to send home a letter to families, hopefully tomorrow. So once we're done recording, I'm going to draft that email. And then I'm also, my goal is to involve the whole school. So each grade is going to be responsible for something different. So like kindergarten, obviously you can't write letters of encouragement. So they're going to be decorating.
Right?
Yeah. I've seen my children's handwriting. I mean, it's legible, but child, the assistance to write those letters would be crazy. And I want to make this as stress-free as possible. So they're going to decorate envelopes. I have planned for first grade. They're going to color these motivational like papers. Like they have like punny motivational things like you're very smart. Do your very best. Like things like that. And then the rest of the grades are going to do like personalized postcards to kids.
That's awesome.
So my goal is for every kid to have at least one letter. But the way I've set it up, they're at least going to have from, you know, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, if everybody's on board. Because I know my whole school is going to be testing. So I just don't want it to be stressful on them trying to test prep. But maybe it'll be a good break. Like, hey, just write a quick note of encouragement mm-hmm. to a third grader kind of thing. So I'm hoping it goes well. But I don't have much time, so I'm a little stressed.
Yeah, but next year it'll be even better.
Definitely. 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%-o. Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
I went through all like the rules and the procedures of how to test. And like my eighth graders looked at me and they're like, Ms. Dozier, we've been testing for a very long time. Like we know how to do this. And I'm like, yeah, you do. But I still got to say all of it.
I always read it in the most theatrical and obnoxious voice. So the kids like pay more attention to me.
Yeah.
And they kind of
the laugh. Pointer and the highlighter tool do this.
I'm always like, good morning. Today, you will be taking the Smarter Balance ELA assessment. And they're all looking at me like,
tomorrow. Actually, they would probably lose it.
They're like, Miss Brandt, why are you being so weird? I'm like, I'm just trying to keep y'all entertained. That's all. That's all I'm trying to do.
So,
yeah. But we should probably jump into our Estudiante Estrella.
Yes.
So today's Estudiante Estrella is actually a DM that we got because we have a lot of listeners. Like Spotify and Apple Podcasts are clearly our top two listening services. But Spotify, you could only leave stars and can't leave actual written reviews, aka Spotify. Get on that because they really want to do that. So we got a lovely DM from Melinda Deffy. And I just want to read what she sent us.
Yes.
So Melinda says, I finally caught up a couple weeks ago and it was absolutely torture having to wait a week for the next episode. And then last week when your platform crashed, I was seriously going through withdrawals, LOL. I love the stories you tell and the banter between the two of you. I only wish you could hear me responding to y'all 3 or 4 times every episode, LOL. I can definitely relate. Oops, I moved it. I can definitely relate. Oh, I can't see. There it is. I can definitely relate to your teacher stories and have several I want to share with you soon. This old lady has been at this for 28 years, enjoys every minute of each episode. Keep up the great work. 5 stars and some star eye emojis.
That was so sweet. We too were also going through withdrawals, so do not fret.
Yeah, that was like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It seemed, honestly, going back to it, because we're still using the same platform, it seems like that one episode was like corrupt. I don't know why. Because even if, like, it won't let me delete it, I go in it now and it still says the same, like, trying to connect to chat thing. So it's just that one thing that was ghetto. I don't know why.
Yeah, it just didn't want you guys to have that one case.
It did, but y'all got it anyway.
Yeah, it did.
So, Melinda Deffy, thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing. And also, moving forward, we know, like, we get so many DMs and we try to keep up with them, and I think we're doing a pretty good job. If you are a Spotify listener and would love to be an Estudiante Estrella, if you can please email us at teacherstalkcompodcast@gmail.com and subject line it Estudiante Estrella or star student. So we can, like, put them in a folder.
Because of those non-bilingual people, yeah.
Yeah. If y'all don't want to say Estudiante Estrella, it's fine.
You can be like me and just say star student.
You can.
Yeah.
You can. So if we, because I would love to throw those in, like, a folder so it'd be easier to find. Because I was on here scrolling through the messages with Brooke, like, I can't remember where it is. But I found it.
I also wish that, like, Instagram had, like,
folders. You know,
that would be nice. Yes. And watch somebody leave a comment and say that they do and then we're just dumb.
Nah, they definitely don't.
I also wish they had, like, headers. Like, you could, like, do a subject
line.
Yes, I really wish they had that too. Instagram.
Instagram.
Y'all are all over here making some changes. Why don't you make a change on that?
Yeah, make that change. Thanks.
Yo.
It would help us out.
So, I'm going to have to change the jingle again, guys, because this is not a murder.
Dang.
It's kidnapping.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We don't like that.
So, here we go. Sit down. Shut up. The kidnapping is about to begin.
Ahora.
Welcome to Murder and Mimosis.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Danica.
Together as a mother and daughter duo, we host Murder Mimosas, true crime podcast with an episode released every Saturday at 10 a.m. so you can listen to it during prime brunch time. While we don't require a mimosa, we do highly recommend one. All of our episodes are cases that we found really interesting or just really stuck with us because we hope they'll do the same for you. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This case involves kidnapping, burying people alive, ransom, and holding hostages at gunpoint.
Burying people alive?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's like a fear of mine. I've seen too many Criminal Minds episodes, and it is terrifying.
You know, Criminal Minds makes it look like it happens every week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ton of episodes about burying people alive.
Yeah. And speaking of like crimes and making it seem like it's more relevant, have you heard about that possible serial killer in Chicago?
Yes. And have you also heard about Derek Morgan coming back to Criminal Minds?
Shut up.
Yes.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
Oh my gosh, because I watched the new season and I was like, oh my God, my man ain't here. And now you're telling me my man coming back?
Yep.
Oh, he's so delicious.
He is. He really is. Yes.
But I want my little nerdy friend to come back too.
Oh, I love Spencer.
Oh, yeah. I love me some Spence. He's like a sexy nerd.
He was.
He got
sexier and sexier every season.
Like, he just had a certain type of swag to him, you know?
He did.
Oh,
he did.
Gosh. Yeah. Bring him back next.
Yeah. Let's bring back the originals.
Right? I would love that. I would love that a lot. But yeah, the kidnapping and the burying and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So back to the case. On July 15th, 1976, a school bus driver and 26 children aging from 5 to 14 years old were abducted. It is believed to still be the largest kidnapping in the United States to have ever taken place, and the kidnappers held everyone in a box truck, which was buried in a quarry with the intention of using them for ransom. All of the students and bus driver clawed their way out and ultimately survived the horrible attack.
Absolutely not.
So let's get into it.
This is why my children won't wear the bus. Because it's just another fear unlocked in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Chowchilla was a small town in California. And if you blinked, you would have driven through the heart of it without even knowing it. Everyone knew everyone. And this was during a time where no one locked their doors. This is what people refer to as the good old days. At least until it wasn't. The summer was in full swing on Thursday, July 15th, 1976 in Chowchilla, California. And I just want to say, I love saying that name, Chowchilla.
You know what it makes me think of? Chinchilla.
Yep.
And when I think of chinchilla, I think of chinchilla hurt they feelings. So whenever someone has on a fuzzy jacket, I'd be like, ooh, you got on that chinchilla hurt they feelings? Ooh. But Chowchilla?
Chowchilla.
Chowchilla. Chinchilla.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, I do too. It rolls off the tongue very nicely. It does.
Chowchilla.
Yeah. So, like I said, in the summer of July 15th, 1976 in Chowchilla, California, it was around 4 p.m. and the school bus driver, Frank Edward Ray, was driving 25 students, 19 girls, and 7 boys home from summer school. However, on this particular day, the class had gotten to take a trip to the Chowchilla Fairgrounds pool. All the students did attend Dairyland Elementary School, and on Ed Ray's route with the children, he had dropped 2 students off and began making his way around town to drop the rest of the kids off, until he noticed a van blocking the road. Ed said something to the effect of, oh, what in the world is this? Oh, gosh, what is going on? Something along those lines. And he attempted to go around the van that was parked in the middle of the road. Now, Ed Ray had clearly stopped the van, stopped the bus altogether. And the kids do recall this because they noticed that the bus had stopped and then they felt it try to go again and then it stopped again. And this is when Ed was confronted by a armed man. The man had a smaller handgun, according to the students, and one student remembers smarting off to the guy once he had stepped onto the bus because, as he put it, we didn't know fear. We didn't know that we should be afraid.
Mm. That's a good time because,
right?
You know, now we're just terrified.
Living in fear.
Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm. The kid went on to add something along the effect of that was until a second person got on the bus with a long double barrel sawed off shotgun. That is when everyone knew how real and scary this situation had become. Jody Heffington described the event like this, saying, quote, "And this man came up with a stocking over his head with a gun and said, open the door. I have never been around guns. You only see bad guys in movies with stockings on, so I knew it wasn't good."
Yikes.
Yeah. One of the men held a gun to Ed Ray's head and told him slash put him in the back of the bus, while the other man took over driving the bus. The kids then looked out the back of the bus and noticed that a third man was in the back of the bus driving the getaway van that had just been parked in the middle of the road.
Absolutely not.
So a total of three kidnappers.
Absolutely not. I don't like that. I don't like that for anyone involved. Mm-mm.
Yep. The kidnappers knew that they couldn't ride around just this big old yellow bus because parents were obviously going to begin to worry when their children were not home.
100%.
And this was before cell phones, and it does kind of make you like take a second. We can gripe all we want about like technology and kids and they should have in these devices and blah, 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 blah. But we live in a world of tech, and if this had attempted to happen now, you would have had multiple 911 calls. You would have had multiple recordings. Somebody on that bus would have tried to go live. I mean, you just know that this wouldn't have taken place in the events that it did, like, you know, in the timeline that it did.
Yeah.
If they had had phones. But this was the 70s and there were no phones.
There were not.
The kids recall that they all of a sudden felt the bus go off of the road. They had decided, the kidnappers, that they needed to hide this bus. And so they had planned a stashaway van in a slough. And a slough, if you don't know what a slough is, it's a dried up river, a riverbed. And they had this dried up riverbed along the Chowchilla River. Like I said, this was really planned in detail because in the slough, in bamboo that was taller than the bus, they had another second van. And this van was meant to transport the driver and the kids. Now, what they did was they parked the bus in between the bamboo. And the bamboo, like, was so tall that it covered the bus.
So you wouldn't be able to see it.
You couldn't see it. Correct. Now, both of these vans had windows. Keep in mind, we're now up to two vans. We have 25 kids, and we have Ed Ray, and we have three kidnappers. One of the vans they've already seen because it was the one parked in the middle of the road. Now they have a second van. Both of these vans are white, and both vans have had the windows completely blacked out. They were painted black. No one could see in, and no one could see out. The vans were also installed with wood panels and had no ventilation whatsoever. It was a makeshift jail cell on wheels.
And you're in California. What month was this again?
July.
Yeah, so it's hot. So you literally baking them inside that van?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I don't like that.
The kids had no water, no food, and no access to the bathroom for the next 11 hours.
11 hours?
Yes.
And I know none of them children have bladders like a teacher. I know they don't. Because there's some days at work I don't go to the bathroom all day. And I'm there for 8 hours. And you're in a van.
But once you get home, you're about to explode.
100%. I'll be on 95 like, gotta go. But I can only imagine, like, children in a hot van, so you're probably dehydrated.
Correct.
Oh, that's not a good time. I don't like that.
Yeah. The three men loaded the driver and the kids into the identical vans at gunpoint, and they began driving around. Now, the kids said that they didn't even think that they were in California anymore due to the amount of driving that they had done. Some said they fell asleep and woke up not believing that this was still taking place. Others said they hung on to their friends and cried. And one even said that it was so dark he felt as though he could taste the darkness.
You know what? I can feel that because yesterday was my power outage. 2 days ago? Yeah, 2 days ago.
It was 2 days ago.
2 days ago, there was a car accident, took out the power in my town. So they had to turn off all the power so they could fix the main line. And when I tell you that looking into the parking lot of my apartment complex, you could not see anything unless there were brake lights. It was the most terrifying thing to like be in because it's never been that dark in my area. So just not being able to see and only having like one little lantern to light our way, I understand that feeling wholeheartedly because I had to close my door. I literally had the lamp on and I was like, it's gonna keep me safe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you did that as a grown woman.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine, because only one of these vans had Ed Ray in it. So there was a whole van of kids that were just kids.
With strange men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how old were these kids again?
5 to 14.
Oh, the little babies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So when they were loading into these vans, the thought process was very intentional because the kids were instructed to jump from the bus into the van so that they did not leave any footprints behind in the dirt and mud along the riverside.
The amount of planning that they put into this is really terrifying. Like, y'all did all of this. Like, ooh, no one's gonna know. But also, the tree, the bamboo with the bus, you know, it's, they gonna find the bus. They just not gonna.
It's a big yellow bus.
You know, like, you're gonna see a bus eventually when you find it. But
oh yeah.
And I'm assuming if you didn't want to leave mud tracks, well, the van's going to leave tire tracks. So
it did.
You know, like, you didn't have all your ducks in a row.
Exactly. I mean, I get, like, I think they, I don't know. It's like, yeah, it was well thought out and it was well meticulously, like, you know, planned. But like, then you left out those little details. Like, still, at the end of the day, you can't take away the fact this is a huge yellow bus.
Yes.
That's missing.
But also, thank goodness that, you know, they didn't have everything.
Correct. Planned absolutely.
Because this could have been a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, you know, it's already terrifying to think about all of this happening. But then they drove around for 11 hours before they were taken to what could have been their doom had this played out any differently, like Ashley just said. Now, Jennifer Brown Hyde was 9 years old at the time and said the following about being held inside those vans. She said, quote, "And I felt like I was an animal going to the slaughterhouse."
Oh.
9 years old.
And to say that, like.
Yes.
Ugh.
Another student, Jody Heffington, 10 years old at the time, said the following to the show 48 Hours. Quote, "He held a shotgun to my stomach and I had to stand there with this gun in my gut until that one van drove away and they backed the second van up. It felt like forever. I thought he was going to shoot me. I actually did."
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like any of that. Yeah. I just... And for them to have to go in and explain all this and what's going on, like, I just,
So the location that they were then taken to was a quarry in Livermore, California, 100 miles from Chowchilla, California, where they were taken.
That's why it felt like they was, you know, in another state.
Correct. I mean, different parts of California are like being in another state.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. But time has passed and it has now become the next day. Keep in mind, they were abducted around 4. It's been 11 hours. They're well into the next day, right? Before the birds had even woken up, the kidnappers forced all of the kids and driver from the creepy vans into a truck trailer by ladder. Now, the way the kids described this happening was, imagine this. The back of the van door opens up and they snatch the first kid they grab, like they touch, out of the van, close the door. The kids that are still in the van do not know what is happening outside of the van because the windows are blacked out. They can't hear anything due to the wood paneling. So they're just reaching in, grabbing kids, closing the door.
That is,
and the kids,
so scary.
Yeah. The kids literally said, "We thought they were just killing us as they pulled us out."
That's what I would have thought too.
Exactly.
Like, you can't hear anything. You can't see anything. And you're literally in the pitch black. So then the door's opening, probably shining all this light in your eyes, blinding you, like disorienting you. And then imagine being in the front, like getting snatched and then the door closing. Like, ooh.
Yes. Traumatic.
Very traumatic.
Yes. Now, the last two people that were left in the vans were your oldest student and your youngest. So the 14-year-old and the 5-year-old were the last remaining two kids in the vans. Now, the 14-year-old did describe how he personally could not live with the fact that if they were killing them once they left the van, if that's what was happening, he said, "I could not hand them this little girl. I couldn't just hand her over." So he chose to go before her And whatever was on the other side, he would just deal with. Because he couldn't live with the fact that he was just going to have to hand her over, right? Oh. So the five-year-old was the last one to be taken from the van. Now, what they didn't realize is that they were being led down a ladder into this truck trailer. And the truck trailer was buried with dirt and debris 12 feet underground.
How did it even get under there?
Great question.
Like,
the kidnappers...
They months. Planned that too?
They were out there digging it months. Mm. Months.
These are some sick individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Some real sick individuals. And they could have used all of this brain power to do something better with their lives. Like become an engineer or something.
Because clearly you like you doing all this other stuff.
You're a planner. Be an event planner. Because clearly you like to plan things. But don't plan kidnappings. Because that's freaking weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Again, the kids did not know that they weren't being like picked off one by one. And so some of them described once they went into the hole and they saw that everyone was there, it was kind of like a relief. It looks like at least we're away. Let's have a moment. You know, let's enjoy this right here. But they quickly covered up the hole that had led the kids into the truck trailer with a, oh my gosh, I had the word. It was on the tip of my tongue. The sewage thing, like, you know, in the middle of the road, the manhole cover. Okay. There you go. They covered it back up with a manhole cover. So the kidnappers weren't all that terrible, though. You know, you want to give them some credit where credit's due. Not really. I'm totally being sarcastic. However, they did stock the truck with a little bit of food, a little bit of water. So they gave them some cereal, some peanut butter, loaves of bread. And heck, they even threw in some mattresses just in case people, like, you know, wanted to take a nappy.
Here's the thing. How you know none of them kids had peanut allergies? You could have just murdered them all.
Correct. I didn't even think about that.
There's that. Two, if your plan was to, of course you're going to provide food and water if your plan was just to ransom them. You know what I mean? It'd be different if you really planned to kill all these people. So you better do something to make sure all these kids come out alive.
Correct. But they also had, like made makeshift toilets where it was like pretty much a hole in the ground. So like a hole even further down than the 12 feet that they already were. And they had somehow hooked up like these fans that blew like air into them. Now, after a few hours, those fans went out and the food had been eaten. So imagine.
Oh.
Jennifer Brown Hyde said the following, quote, "It was a desperate situation. We thought if we're going to die, we're going to die trying to get out of here."
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
100%. You might as well go out trying.
You're right.
You got better than just sitting around and doing nothing, just waiting for your demise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I can literally only imagine, and I wrote that sentence, but now like I'm saying it and I'm like, no, actually I can't imagine because we do it every single day. But my sentence says, I can literally only imagine being the only adult buried under ground who has all these kids to protect and all these kids are looking at you as the adult. But I don't know why I wrote that because that's literally what we do every single day.
Mm-hmm. As a teacher, we are responsible for other children. They're looking to us for guidance as their role model, as their, you know, motivation, their approval, X, Y, and Z. Yeah, we do that every single day. Mm-hmm. Every single day.
Yeah. So the kids did state that after an attempt to kind of figure things out, Ed Ray, the bus driver, instructed everyone to get some rest. So, you know, he's trying to go into that adult role. He's telling everyone, look, we've had it rough for a while. Let's eat. Let's rest. We can't do anything if we're deprived. So let's do what we have to do. And then we're going to figure some things out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are all scared. And Ed, along with the oldest, they're trying, you know, to hold on to some hope. And Ed and the oldest, the 14-year-old Michael Marshall, he and Ed were trying to figure out a plan. But you still have all these 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds looking at you like terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So after some time in this little underground truck trailer, Ray, the bus driver, and the oldest 14-year-old Michael Marshall managed to stack the mattresses on top of each other so that they could reach the top of the manhole. Now, the truck was covered with dirt, heavy debris, and for example, what I mean by heavy debris is I mean like 200-pound industrial batteries. So they would take turns having the kids climb up and push on the manhole, just kind of like loosening the jar, as you will, yeah. right? So Michael climbs up and starts pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally somebody yells out, "You made it move. You made it move." Like they saw that it moved. Mm-hmm. So all the kids talk about just how like Michael fought to get out of there. Like he was the one that used his strength and really tried to make the manhole move and did the dang thing. So he ends up getting the manhole wedged open and he starts digging, literally digging the dirt to get to the top. And wow. all of a sudden, a ray of sunshine burst through the dirt. And the kids say that by this point, the fans had gone off. Mm. The truck was starting to cave in and that sunshine let in so much air and just like this, they just knew at that point they were going to get out.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to think. So they were led in a ladder and then into the trailer. Yes.
Right. So think of a semi truck trailer, right?
Yes.
You know how those trailers are detachable. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was buried 12 feet underground.
Now, the long ways.
Right.
Okay. Because it couldn't be up and down. That's dumb, Ashley. Anyway.
Yes. So a manhole was either drilled into the top. Let's just say drilled. And a ladder was let down. The kids climbed down in it. They pulled the ladder up. They buried them with cranes or whatever that machine's called. James would know. I don't know. Like the little thing that can pick things up. The claw thing.
Something. Right. Put it in the DM.
And this
Put
is the middle of the night.
You know what it's called.
Right. So this is the middle of the night. So nobody's like hearing any of this. And so they're burying the trailer. The truck trailer.
So in this when hole. You said, so they, because I'm thinking of the truck trailer. There's only doors in the front. So they did some type of hole on the top.
Yes.
And then they, but so now my question is, if they're buried, then once you move the manhole, wouldn't all the debris fall into them, into the hole and smother them?
Well, it's a big trailer. And I thought the same thing too. I was like, okay, well, wouldn't the dirt kind of start falling into the hole? And I think it did. They did say like the dust started to come in. That's what made the light come in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what they buried them with, though, is also like industrial, like tin and metal and batteries and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like they layered on dirt. It was just like other debris as well.
Okay.
So it was like, okay, clump of dirt here. Okay, a tin roof here. Okay, mm-hmm. a battery here. Okay, some tires here. Like a bunch of debris.
Okay. Because I was just trying to picture that. Because
I had the same questions.
Yeah, I was trying to picture that in my brain. I was just like, how in the devil? But yeah.
Right. Okay. I thought the same thing. So at this point, it had been 36 hours since their lives changed forever. And they all started exiting the truck one by one. They all followed Ray to the quarry's security guard shack staff thing right there. You know, I guess like a little security shack. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, the kids actually began to feel safe. And as they were coming out of the hole, the kids started describing that, like, workers were still at the quarry in their hard hats and just began, like, looking at them. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Because you got to think, there's 25 of these kids. And so, like, one comes out and then everybody's like, wait, what just happened? And then another one comes out and you're like, wait, hold on. Am I seeing stuff?
Yeah.
And then by the 10th kid, you're like, what the hell is going on?
Absolutely. Especially when y'all are like literally they're doing your job and you're just like, where did y'all even come from?
Like, right. Exactly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So they did make it out. They made it to the crew. They made it to the security guards. The students and Ray were then taken. Once the police were called and they all arrived and things like that, the students were taken to the Santa Rita Rehabilitation Center, a.k.a. the local jail.
What?
This was the only place that had enough room to house all of the students and Ray. Mm. What's even crazier, though, is the only way to transport the group was by bus.
Oh, the traumatic... Because they're like, the last time I got on a bus, you know.
Yes. And that's what I was thinking, too. I said, like, imagine living in a time where people don't really understand trauma yet. And they don't understand anxiety. They don't understand triggers, like, the way that we do now. And you just put all these kids back on a bus when their own bus was just hijacked. Yes. Could you imagine what those kids were going through?
That,
like,
and it's even as an adult realizing your triggers is kind of like, ooh, but as a child who doesn't know that and is like in fear, like seeing the bus and just having flash, you know, that's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the things in place that, you know, schools have with like social emotional learning and being in tune with your feelings back then. So they're all just like literally losing it. But they're like, these are police officers, so we should trust them. But also, this is a bus. And the last time we were on a bus, we ended up in this thing in the ground and had to fight for our lives to get out of here. So, wow.
Yikes. Yeah. So once at the prison, they were given orange coveralls, just like if they were prisoners, that were insanely too big for them, and they were given apples and sodas. They were all examined by doctors and then loaded onto another bus and made the 100-mile trip back to their families who were waiting on their safe return. This was in the early morning hours around 4 a.m., and the area in Chowchilla was now surrounded by media, police, journalists, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, community members, etc.
I can imagine. I just imagine being a parent during that, knowing your kid was on this bus, the bus is missing, you're waiting for your kid, you're just waiting on pins and needles for that phone call, like, we found him.
Mm-hmm.
And then like finding out on your landline, because there's no cell phones, you're not getting, you literally have to sit and wait because you don't have the technology at that time to get information to you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they found the bus, how long would that take that to get back to them?
So the bus was only found by helicopter. You could not see the bus from road. You could not see the bus. So when they were doing all of their patrolling, they never saw the bus. And so they did one last round by helicopter, and the helicopter spotted the bus over the top view. Because remember, the bamboo could cover it up vertically. Mm-hmm. But when you're on top and you're looking down, again, really hard to hide a big yellow bus.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they were all returned safely hours after they had escaped the hole, and Jody Heffington said the following, quote, "Nothing was ever the same. Nothing was ever the same after that. There are a lot of tools that we now know about in 2023 that could help kids overcome things like this and work through trauma. But in the 70s, like me and Ashley have just talked about, they didn't know all that we know now.
Uh-huh.
So at the time, the police and the community felt that the best way to help these kids was to send them to Disneyland.
You know, in my defense, that is the happiest place on earth.
It is. Yep.
But did they have to take a bus there?
No,
because
I don't think so. God, I hope not.
I would hope not, because you already put these babies on two additional buses. I don't ever want to see a bus another day in my life, honestly. Correct. But you know what I was just thinking of? That something that would be helpful today, and I don't know if this is a thing now, but I feel like all buses should have trackers on them.
Yes.
100%. And parents should GPS. Have access to their student, their child's bus. GPS like watch tracker. The route. So like to see, you know, I don't think that's a thing, right?
I don't think so. We patent that.
100%. If you make it, you got this idea from Teachers Talk Crime. Because I was just thinking about, like, how is that not a thing? Like, how are parents not able to see exactly where their kids' bus is on the route to and back from school? Because you're never really notified, honestly, if your kid made it to school, unless They're absent. And then you get the call, the automatic call that your kid was absent. Then you're like, wait, hold up. I sent my kid to school. You know what I mean?
And we actually, like, we get parents called, like, all the time. They'll call the school and they'll be like, no, like, I know my kid got on the bus. Like, I watched them go to the bus stop.
Fantastic. They're not here.
Yeah.
They're not here. If there's a will, there's a way, baby. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned about these children, they are very resourceful.
Yep.
Okay?
They are.
If they want to do something, they're going to do it.
And they will hide out in some nasty places.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But yeah, I think that should definitely be a thing. I think that would be really helpful.
Yes. Teachers Talk Crime patents that idea on April 19th, 2023.
And we could think of a cool name for the app, like Watch That Bus. I got to work on it. It just came to my brain.
Yeah. You work on that.
It wasn't my best work. It's fine. Just don't even talk about it.
You work on that. So Larry Park, who was 6 years old at the time, said the following about the whole Disneyland thing. He said, quote, "Everyone thought that it was a great idea because the good memories of Disneyland would overshadow the bad memories of the kidnapping."
I mean, that's the goal. But then you have to think, like, I'm imagining if I was like, yeah, maybe like closer to the 15-year-old age, I would be like, yeah, I went to Disneyland, but why did I go to Disneyland? Because I was kidnapped. Like,
correct.
You know, so maybe those younger kids are like, oh, snap, Mickey Mouse and Donald and all my gang is here. And the older kids are like, we're here because we got snatched.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So then I would probably never want to go to Disneyland again.
Then yeah, exactly. It's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe, like, if, you know, maybe if this happened in 2023, I think maybe we should have, like, offered some grief counseling, some therapy, some time, some outlets mm-hmm. to get our emotions out, you know, things like that. Yeah. So, yeah. And, like, again, I have to put my head in the idea that this was the 70s, because in one interview I saw where the journalist asked one of the little girls, like one of the 6 years old, quote, "What's it like to now be a celebrity?" Like,
I'm sorry, sir.
What?
You're fired. You're done.
I got kidnapped. I got my childhood ripped away from me.
Like, are you stupid or are you dumb?
Sir, I'm not a celebrity. I'm a victim.
I'm a traumatized child.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, the nerve.
Seriously.
When an investigation got started, the radar was instantly on the Corey's 24-year-old son, Frederick Newall Woods IV. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. And it would definitely have to be someone, you know, associated with the quarry, because they so much of their plan was in that.
Correct.
You know, so.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this radar was on Fred because of the location of the crime and the access to the quarry, like we just said. It was also believed that since three men were identified to be there, that the other two must have been Frederick's buddies, James and Richard Schoenfeld. They were both 24 and 22 years old. They were kind of like your local troublemaker brothers. They had just been convicted of motor vehicle theft, and they were put on probation prior to the kidnapping. Now, why were they just put on probation? I'm glad you ask. You see, Fred, good old Fred.
Mm-mm.
Him, James, and Richard, they were good old suburban rich kids.
So what did you need to do this for?
Correct. Isn't that a great question?
Granted, nobody should be doing this.
No.
But if you are a suburban rich kid who has access to money, what are you kidnapping a bunch of kids and trying to get a ransom for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get to that. So the police issued a warrant to search the Woods home where Frederick resided with his father. And upon doing so, they found one of the guns used in the kidnapping. They also found the intention behind the kidnapping, which was money. So one important document that was found at the home was labeled with a big old label.
Shut up.
It said plan.
Just so y'all know, that's not what people do. Granted, we're not out here promoting how to commit a crime.
No.
But that's what you don't do.
Yeah. I got one better. Ready? And to set out how they were going to execute and commit this crime, they even had a document with the title, "What to Do If Something Goes Wrong." I'm laughing because, yes, these kids went through a horrible thing. They all are survivors. And it just shows, like, it was so well thought out to an extent. And then you look at all the details, you're like, actually, it wasn't.
And then it's showing their age because they're, what, 24-ish?
Yeah, 22, 24.
Like, you show, like, you had all the brains to calculate this very detailed plan. And then had the nerve to put it in a folder that said plan.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
But who dropped the ball?
Right. Which one of you said,
I'm in charge of this. I'll keep the plan. And it's going to be such a good plan that it's going to say plan on it. And no one's going to know that it's the plan, even though it says plan. Like,
I imagine that's literally how the conversation went.
Bro, I got it. And I understand what we're going to do. I'm going to save our asses. Like, that. Yeah. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. So, even though this search warrant was executed on the Woods home, Frederick actually wasn't there because the trio had fled the area in all different directions. James Schoenfeld was caught first that same day in Menlo Park, California. Shortly after, 8 days later, Richard Schoenfeld, his brother, volunteered to surrender and turned himself in. He walked into the station with his lawyer and, of course, little daddy-o, his daddy's money, he had his father present.
Wow.
Now, Frederick Woods was the last to be caught, and he was caught 2 weeks after the kidnapping in Canada.
He was able to make it to Canada.
Yes, he went through Washington State and just beep-bop-boop.
Yeah, he was like, we out.
Mm-hmm. So the plan was to call the Chowchilla Police Department and demand $5 million for the safe return of the kidnapping victims. Okay, so that was there. That was in the folder labeled the plan.
The plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And in today's inflation, this is equivalent to about $38 million.
Oh.
Just so y'all know that.
But the crazy thing is, so you were saying that the top of the trailer was starting to cave in and all of that. So let's say hypothetically that the kids didn't get the opportunity to get out. So you're asking for this ransom for the safe return of these kids when your plan could have potentially killed them if they didn't do what they did.
Yeah.
So
you're going to love this next part. This part also might have the whole folder labeled plan. It might have it beat. Ready? So they were going to demand the $5 million, right? So they were going to kidnap the kids. They kidnapped the kids. They did that check on the plan, right? They just like had this little bulleted list.
Yes.
They were going to call the police department, demand $5 million. Now, however, due to this making national headlines so quickly because it was the largest kidnapping in the United States, the trio was unable to contact the police department due to the phone lines being jammed with the media and the families and everybody like going crazy. So they decided to take a nap. And they were going to try again after they woke up from their nap. But when they woke up from their nap, it was on the headlines that the kids had escaped. And so then they were like, oh, crap, we've got to run now.
Our plan's been foiled.
This wasn't on the list of things that could go wrong, guys.
We were not anticipating this to make national news.
Correct. We only kidnapped 25 kids.
Like, it's not even that big of a deal.
God, Fred. I mean, you said this was not going to happen. It wasn't on our list.
These are not the things that were supposed to happen in the folder that said things in case they happen. Drop the ball. Again.
So, we're going to go this way? And you're going to go to, like, Canada, bro.
Yeah, because we clearly got to go separate ways since you foiled the plan.
That's literally how the conversation went.
100%. 100%.
Yep.
Like, I can just imagine them waking up and being like, oh, shit. Like, literally panicking. Yes. Like, this wasn't in the plan. Oh, my God. What do we do? Like, frantic.
Absolutely. First of all, which one of them were like, so we've tried to call about 8 times. We're not getting through. I'm kind of tired. Like, kidnapping somebody, like, took a lot of work out of me.
I think we need a rest.
Yeah.
And they're all like, bro, that's mad smart, bro.
Does anybody want to set an alarm?
Because then we'll be mad rested when we do call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go get on the couch.
You're going to take the floor? I got a pillow. Yeah. You want one?
Yeah.
A blanket? You cold?
No, like, I'm good, bro. I'm good,
oh,
bro.
Oh, you good, bro? You good, bro? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's blankets over there in the corner if you want one, because I'm going to go take a nap right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's foolish.
That's what happened. That's foolish. Literally what happened.
Foolish.
Yeah. So this is obviously when they fled in different directions. So now let's go back to a little background on the boys, and then we're going to kind of wrap this thing up at a more current date. So now a little background on the boys is something worth noting. So after hearing that they were going to ask for millions of dollars, you probably assumed before I let the cat out of the bag that these boys were maybe from some like rougher backgrounds, underprivileged homes. Mm-hmm. Maybe their dad was missing. Maybe they didn't have a good mom. Maybe all these things that we typically normally kind of cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be so wrong. The Schoenfeld brothers actually came from a very well-to-do family. They were the sons of a very wealthy, very known podiatrist in town.
That's a foot doctor, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the brothers grew up with money, and this was the same for Fred Woods. Now, I don't know if he went by Fred, but I just keep calling him Fred, Freddio, because, you know, like, I don't really care. He's going to go by Fred today.
Okay.
Now, all three of these boys came from very wealthy families, and I will tell you how wealthy in just a minute, but they all lived in the nicest San Francisco suburb area. Now, even though the boys came from money, they actually admitted as to why they were doing this whole plan. Why did this plan even come about? Now, even though the boys came from money, they actually admitted, the Schoenfeld brothers actually admitted that they were in debt, along with Fred, deeply. And they never stated what kind of debt. We assume, because we were talking about it, it's either drugs or gambling. It's got to be.
Yeah, because what else do you owe for, like, your Beanie Baby collection or...
Like, $5 million is a big debt.
Yeah. And it'd have to be a collective debt between
all
of you. All
three together.
Because there's no way one of y'all owe somebody $5 million. Because I think you would be dead, honestly.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a limit on how much, like, you know, you can be in debt for.
Yeah.
So one of the Schoenfeld brothers said the following, quote, "We needed multiple victims to get multiple millions, and we picked children because children are precious. The state would be willing to pay ransom for them, and they don't fight back. They're vulnerable. They will mind."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he's right about the precious part, because children are precious.
He clearly has never been a teacher, because they don't mind.
Yeah.
Not really.
Nah.
But anyways.
And some of them do fight back. So maybe then, but now. Child, did you see that video of that substitute teacher?
No.
Throwing hands with the students. Because over the girl taking her phone. Yeah. It was just another day in education, you know?
Yeah, you'll have to send that one to me.
It was crazy. Yeah, I'm going to send it to you because it was wild.
So during trial, all three men did plead guilty to kidnapping and robbery. But when it came to the charge of infliction of bodily harm, they pleaded not guilty. Because this charge held life in prison as a sentence without the possibility of parole. So this meant that the men would be going to trial on this charge and would be putting their faith in the jury system. Now, they were all found guilty by a jury and they were given the mandatory sentence. However, this sentence would later be overturned because the wounds that were considered bodily harm were just cuts and bruises that the children got while climbing in and out of the vans, also by being in the truck itself. This did not fit the standard of what bodily harm is under the law.
I'm sorry, the law? Change the law, because these children weren't supposed to be kidnapped in the first place. And honestly, they wouldn't have gotten these quote unquote not lawful bodily harms if they were never put in this predicament.
Correct.
So I don't agree with that.
Yep. So their sentence was then changed to life with the possibility of parole, meaning that the children would have to go back to court every 1 to 2 years, 3 times a year, to plead their case on why these men should not be let out.
Oh, how are you ever supposed to heal from that trauma?
Exactly.
I know there's a way to, but the therapy back then, I just don't imagine that it was therapying like therapy now.
So according to Jill Kling, who was the assistant district attorney, the parole hearings remained very painful for the kidnapping victims, as we assumed they would.
Yeah.
It has now been years since the kidnapping took place, and Richard Schoenfeld was released first back in 2012. James Schoenfeld was then released second in 2015. As for Wood, good old Fred Woody Wood, you know, good old Freddy Fred. He, in 2019, Fred has been continuously denied parole. He has been denied parole 19 times, according to sources, and the reasons for this are because he has continuously denied the severity of his crime. He plays it off as if they had stolen candy from a candy store, instead of the crime that I have just given you guys. He also has had many infractions while in prison, which were put onto his record and held weight during his parole hearings. He was caught with a cell phone. He was caught with pornography. He was caught with contraband, things, just different things that would just go on his record.
So he was just not doing a good job.
Yeah. So now here is what really threw me for a loop. While still residing in prison, Fred Woods became a millionaire.
What?
Yeah. So keep in mind, he comes from money, right? So in 2016, it was discovered in a lawsuit that Fred Woods had been running several businesses while in prison with the contraband phone without informing the correct personnel. He was operating a gold mine and a car dealership. He also got awarded his trust fund inheritance, which was worth $133 million.
Well, good thing is you can't do anything with that money in jail.
Nope. Now, his lawyers deny this amount and are working to get all of this squashed, but with that kind of money, you can buy the best lawyers around.
100%.
Fred Woods has also been married three different times since he was locked up. He even owns a home, well, I should say a mansion, and it is located only 30 minutes away from the prison that he sleeps in at night.
Is the mansion vacant?
Right, like when he bought it, he was like, well, I'm just gonna buy this.
Like,
I don't know.
That don't make no sense.
Mm-mm. But just as recently as August of 2022, Fred Woods was granted parole and was released from prison.
Mm-mm.
He is 70 years old.
You know, I hope he don't have any teeth.
Yep. I hope you can't hold your poo-poo in.
I hope he has to eat mashed potatoes every day.
Mm-hmm.
And like the bland kind, not like the good mashed potatoes like that your grandmother be making, but like the mm-hmm. bad ones that are just like essentially eating applesauce.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, the focus was on the trio throughout this whole thing, but you know, they did think that they had a brilliant plan. They thought they were going to make some quick millions, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But the real hero in this story is ultimately Ed Ray. So Ed Ray did pass away in 2012, but he was given an award by the community for his efforts in saving those children.
Oh.
Many of the children said that they still visited Ed Ray throughout the years after the fact and kept in contact with him. In 2015, after his death, the sports park in Chowchilla was renamed the Edward Ray Park.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Every year on February 26th, it is declared Edward Ray Day in the community.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
That is the kids so sweet. That,
I know, it's so literally the sweetest thing ever.
And like that they're probably still celebrating even though he's passed away too. I know. So he's probably just looking down like, I was just doing what I had to do.
I was just the bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the kids that were involved in this traumatic event have reported that over the years they have suffered from and still suffer from panic attacks, nightmares, and some even said it altered their brain chemistry, dang, changing who they were as a person, aka PTSD.
Mm.
Many in a study that was done said that they had developed new fears that they didn't have before the event, such as fears of cars, fears of buses, fears of the dark, fears of wind, and etc.
Absolutely.
They also discovered a connection between kids involved in the event and substance abuse and depressive episodes.
Oh.
Yeah. So another hero in this story is and was Michael Marshall, the 14-year-old who helped Ed Ray escape through the manhole.
Oh, not was.
No, he's still alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. He is and was a hero. Like, okay. I don't want to forget that he was a hero. Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were saying it past tense, like he passed away. Oh, my
so,
heart.
Yeah, and Michael has a very, like, powerful study. Like, not study. He has a powerful story. He said in his interview that he one day went to bed drunk at 18 years old and woke up at 40 with a hangover. So, like, he was an alcoholic from 18 to 40. But he is now a father and a truck driver and sober.
Yes. Way to overcome it.
Mm-mm-mm. Uh-huh. He uses a therapy dog for healing, saying the following, quote, I rescued him before he was a year old, and now he rescues me every day. I know.
Stop.
I know.
That is so sweet. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I know. Larry Park was another one of these survivors, and he suffered from substance abuse for many years after the kidnapping. He one night prayed to God that he just wanted to be able to forgive his kidnappers, and he actually went and met with the kidnappers, shaking their hand and telling them that he forgave them. He then was completely sober and owns a handyman business and is a volunteer pastor at the local church.
Not a pastor. Mm-hmm. You better go ahead. Mm-hmm. But not you shaking their hands.
I know, right?
It couldn't be me. I'm sorry. I am the most petty. I wouldn't say the most, but I'm a pretty petty person.
I don't know that I'm going to shake your hand. I might mentally forgive you one day up here just in my head. But that's going to be between me and Jesus.
But if I see you, I might kick you in your shin.
I might.
I forgive you, but I'm still going to kick you in the shin. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Jody Heffington remained in the area, the Chowchilla area, and she raised her son. She was also another survivor. She opened up a lot about this on the episode, the 48-hour episode.
Okay.
And she ended up opening up her own beauty salon, but she says the following. Now, Jody did not have the substance abuse issues. However, she does say this. She says, I think it made me not a good daughter, not a good sister, not a good aunt, and especially not a good mother, and probably not a good friend. I try to be those things, but it seems like it just took something from me that I can't ever get back. And I can't tear down, no matter how hard I try and no matter what I do. Jody has recently passed away in January of 2021. But, you know, she was one that went to all of the parole hearings throughout the years.
She was dedicated.
She was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of the victims did end up suing and they won their lawsuit. However, the money that was paid to them actually came from Fred Wood's massive trust fund.
Yes! That's what you get.
Exactly.
That's what you
now, get. Now, money does not heal all wounds, but we do hope that they were granted something that helped them get through their traumatic experience.
100%.
And this was the Chowchilla kidnapping.
Wow. I almost think that Morbid covered this case.
So there's actually, I did want to say that. So there is actually an amazing podcast that is a whole series on this. It's called Nightmare in Chowchilla. And it is six episodes long. All the episodes are about 30 minutes each if you would like to do a deep dive. Mm-hmm. My main source was the 48-hour episode. And then I got a lot of source from like CBS and all of our other mm-hmm. normal outlets that we get our news from.
Okay. Okay. Because once you said that name, I was like, that sounded a little familiar.
See, I had never heard of this case.
I've heard it on a podcast. I just can't remember which podcast it was.
Yeah.
I want to say it's Morbid, but I could be wrong.
This was a new one for me for sure.
I feel like there are so many cases that, you know, people send us that we stumble across on TikTok and we're like, dang, how did I ever hear about that?
I know.
Like.
Exactly.
Ugh. Mm-mm-mm. Well, thanks for bringing us that.
Yeah. It is 2 hours past my bedtime, so.
Yeah, it's late. It's about to be midnight over here where I'm at. And mm-hmm. Brooke an hour behind, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to go, so.
We do.
As always, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.